Kelly screaming, Jay.
Because of mine.
This is Screaming Jay Hawkins. This is a guy who was an outrageous stage performer.
Stop the things you do.
And if you go on YouTube, you can probably find a video of him doing this song in full Dracula outfit with dry ice making smoke on stage and women dressed as vampirettes and the whole thing. He used to start the song lying on his back in a closed coffin, which the vampirettes would open up, and then he would climb out of it with the microphone and sing the whole song with the cape. And just one of those guys who fully committed to just being outrageous on stage. Screaming Jay Hawkins.
You never would have guessed, based on this delivery, that he was a outlandish performer.
Yeah, over the top.
Yeah, not at all over the top.
Yeah, you add the visuals to this and you get the whole package. This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This hour brought to you by Oreck, all locally owned and operated, and home of great vacuum cleaners and cleaning products for you. When you step into an Oreck home center, ask them about the new Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner, the latest in the Oreck line. O-R-E-C-K spells Oreck. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and Colin Jeffrey now joins us for our weekly visit into the world of movies and showbiz. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, that's good.
What's your daughter going to be for Halloween tonight?
A ballerina. She just started dance classes this past month. So
she's three, right?
Yeah, she just turned three.
Perfect.
So she can just start dance classes.
Perfect.
Yes, she's going to be a ballerina with the traditional ballerina accessory of a sweater. A very, very thick sweatshirt.
It's like I was saying last hour, the kids are all going to be PO'd because they don't want to have to put on a jacket or a sweater over that. And
yeah, she's three, though. If you give her a candy bar, yep, that's fine.
I'm
all right with it, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so we've got three movies opening this week. One is the Nicole Kidman movie, Before I Go to Sleep. The other one is a movie with J.K. Simmons called Whiplash. And I think the one that's the big movie of the weekend is Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler, right?
Yes.
All right, you saw that one?
I saw Nightcrawler.
And?
Well, let's just talk about it here.
All right.
This is Dan Gilroy's directorial debut. You might know that name. He's been associated with the most recent Bourne movie. He wrote for that. He's a very prolific writer, very good writer. But this is the first movie he's directed. His brother Troy, again, you might know him. He directed his first directorial debut, or his directorial debut, the only one he's had, was Michael Clayton. Do you remember that with George Clooney?
As a lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite liked that. Okay. I thought it was a really underrated movie.
Not an action movie.
No. But the reason I bring it up, it was a great first movie to direct.
Okay.
This is a great first movie to direct.
Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler. This is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Wow.
Let's start out there. That's...
You're putting it above Gone Girl?
I didn't see Gone Girl.
Oh, okay.
So that's... That's why.
Because that's my current movie of the year.
Yeah, so we're each going to have to watch the other one's favorite movie of the year.
I wanted to see this, but I couldn't go Tuesday night to the screening.
Yeah.
So what's it about?
So the premise is a character named Louis Bloom, that's played by really the only true star in this, Jake Gyllenhaal, is a very detail-oriented, goal-driven, but horribly amoral man. And you open up on a scene with him stealing what appears to be copper wire and chain link fence to sell. And that's really all I'm going to tell you about his character super specifically. But he's just looking to get ahead, his version of the American dream. And what this ends up leading to, he lives in Los Angeles. This whole movie takes place in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
What he ends up coming across one night is a car crash. And he gets out and he's sort of taken by this. These police officers are trying to pull this woman out of a burning car, and they're struggling, and he's just kind of watching. And as he's standing there, this van pulls up, and these two guys run out with cameras, news cameras, and they're taping this, and they're like, no, get over here. They're right up in it, in the action, and he's fascinated by this, and he asks them what they do. Oh, we're stringers. We collect this footage. We sell it to television stations. That's how we make a living. We're freelance. We don't work for any person.
Which is a job that exists in every major market in America.
Exactly.
Including St. Louis. There are people who, particularly on the overnight, when the TV station doesn't want to pay somebody to be a full-timer to roam around town, there are these stringers who listen to the police scanner, and when they hear something, they go, they get the video. It's all digital now, so once they have it in the camera, they then just can email it to the radio, to the TV station. Video doesn't work that well on radio, as I'll prove next Tuesday when I do McGraw's show. But they email the video to the TV stations, and or maybe just one TV station that they work for, and then when you wake up in the morning, whether it's 2, 4, or 5, they'll have it as part of their package as just kind of background while they tell the story of what happened the night before.
Yes.
So,
and,
okay.
And they're called, I guess, in the lingo, night crawlers, hence the name night crawler.
Right.
I guess that's what, because they all work overnights. Well, he says, I think I can do this. So he goes and buys a cheap camcorder and goes out and begins collecting footage. And the first TV station that he sells it to, in order to determine who he's going to sell to, he starts obsessively watching the morning programs, and he fixates on one. And he goes in there, and that first night, he meets the news director, played by Renee Russo. Interestingly enough, she's married to Dan Gilroy, the director.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care. She fits this role perfectly.
Uh-huh. You're saying she slept with the director to get the job.
Yes, okay. She did. For 22 years. She's been sleeping for this one role.
Finally. They're married. She didn't have to sleep with the director.
Finally. Oh, yeah, you make a good point.
But she plays the news director of the lowest rated morning newscast.
But not for long.
Well, so this first night he goes in, he's very green, you can tell, because the footage is bad, it's low quality, but he gets great footage, better than the rest of the stringers, because he's willing to go closer and capture more graphic images. And so she explains to him what they're looking for in the future.
We find our viewers are more interested in urban crime creeping into the suburbs. What that means is a victim or victims, preferably well off and white, injured at the hands of the poor or a minority.
Just crime?
No. Accidents, Clay. Cars, buses, trains, planes, fires.
A bloody.
Well, graphic. The best and clearest way that I can phrase it to you, Lou, to capture the spirit of what we air, is think of our newscast as a screaming woman running down the street with her throat cut.
Yeah.
I understand.
There you go. So this is
You know, being in the news business, that the TV stations are always, if it bleeds, it leaves.
Yeah. And this is not just a thriller. It's a brilliant piece of satire. This pokes a camera right in that and says, this is what you are all watching, because they know this will get ratings.
Okay.
And it goes to the mecca of that, Los Angeles, where they pay these people what become obscene amounts of money to capture amazingly graphic images.
And by the way, no matter how tabloid you think that the local TV stations might get on occasion here in St. Louis, it is nothing compared to L.A. Even New York and Chicago don't compare to L.A.
Nothing.
In L.A., they will break into programming on 5 TV stations in the middle of the day if there's a police chase.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, some guy robbed a convenience store, got in his car, and he's driving down the road and the cops are chasing him, and it doesn't matter if that chase takes an hour and a half or 4.5 hours, those TV stations get their choppers up in the air and they cover it and they stay with it live the entire time. That is Los Angeles's news sensibility. It's show business. We're in the entertainment capital of the world. We're going to put on showbiz.
And it, you know, we have the, you know, June 17th, 1994 to thank for that, when OJ, all of a sudden, car chases became,
right,
we got to get this on here.
Yeah.
Because we all watched for hours.
Yes.
As he drove around in the Bronco. So it's a thriller. It's a piece of satire. Here's what's really good about it. There's a director of photography, the cinematographer in this. You don't often look at them, but I'm going to give you this guy's name, Robert Elswit. And here's the reason he's great. He's filmed things in Los Angeles before. He's also done The Town, Salt, There Will Be Blood. He won an Oscar for that. Good Night and Good Luck. He was nominated for that.
Mm.
This guy knows how to film action. He knows how to film sort of thought pieces, and they all come into play here.
Wow.
So he got someone great. I think that guy's going to be directing before too long, because if you go back again and see what he's done, he's just too good not to make the leap. The other thing, Gyllenhaal is amazing in this. He's really, really good. And this is just the latest in a string of really good films for him. Enemy, Prisoners, you saw those?
Oh, yeah.
End of Watch, from a couple years back
that he was
very good in, and Jarhead from years ago, where if that movie isn't made, I don't think Hurt Locker gets made. Because you needed a think piece about war recently, and Jarhead was that. And so I really love that. What doesn't work about it, and these are nitpicky things, it's all about L.A. And, man, it just starts to feel maybe a little, hey, we're L.A. Look at, it sort of seems like a prop-up piece for L.A. Look, we're the best at all this stuff. And Jake Gyllenhaal really carries the entire thing. There's no other movie stars you can point to.
Except for Rene Russo.
Yeah, but she has such a small, realistically small role in it. It's really him and a sidekick. The character's name is Rick. I could tell you the actor's name. You've never heard of him. And he doesn't have that, like, really good person to play off of or even a really good role. It might be more the script's fault than the actor's fault. So those two things still, this is a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
This is really, really good. And I encourage you to go see it because to call it a thriller is just unfair. This hit on sort of all the cylinders for me, and I hope a lot of people see it.
You think it's going to be number one this weekend?
I think it'll probably do right around 15 million. Halloween's a tough weekend to open on.
Because not many people will go to the movie theater tonight.
Not many people will go to the movie theater specifically tonight, yes, but then the whole weekend gets thrown off. There's parties, and then when people do go, they aren't necessarily looking for this. And what makes it kind of tough to market is the only face you can put on the poster is Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's not a huge, huge box office draw. He does good movies, but...
Doesn't open a movie.
No. Doesn't.
Speaking of opening a movie, before I get to the movies that I saw this week, last week you said that Keanu Reeves' movie John Wick was going to be number one at the box office, and I noticed that it wasn't. That the Ouija board movie was number one.
Although, I was sad there.
Although John Wick kind of did well, and I'm curious, does that mean that Keanu's career is revitalized?
Hopefully. So here's what happened is John Wick, I think, box office tracking is putting it like $7 million. I thought it might do like 14, and I think it eclipsed 15.
Okay.
And it's just because Ouija looked really, really bad. Well, Ouija still did like 18 to 20 million. So even bad reviews couldn't catch up with that. But on Monday, they announced that a movie Keanu Reeves has been trying to get made for quite some time called Replicas is being made. It got greenlit immediately Monday when they saw the totals.
Because they think he can still open a movie.
He can still open a movie. And not only that, he apparently may have been involved in the adaptation of this. And all I have to tell you about this movie to make you maybe a little bit worried is he plays a neuroscientist. There you go.
Okay, I think that's perfect casting for Keanu Reeves.
So there you go. So, yeah, I mean, John Wick opened well above expectations. And so well, in fact, people said, let's green light this movie that plays Keanu Reeves as a neuroscientist.
All right. But do you think Nightcrawler is the winner this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know what else could even compete with it. I don't see a huge holdover for Ouija or John Wick. So
the other two movies that are opening this weekend, I got a chance to see. One of them is Nicole Kidman's new movie, which is called Before I Go to Sleep. Now, before I talk about the movie, let's just talk about Nicole Kidman for just a moment here, because she's done a lot of movies in her career. There's only really one movie of hers that I truly recommend to anybody, and it's called To Die For. It's more than 20 years old, and she plays a woman in a small town who wants to get into TV and is willing to do anything it takes to get into TV in a town where there's really only the local cable company. There's not even a TV station there. But she sees being the weather person on this local cable station as her chance to get through there. And meanwhile, she meets some young high school kids when she's asked to come to the school and talk to them. One of them is Joaquin Phoenix. And she kind of gets involved with the three of these kids. And it's very strange. Matt Dillon plays her husband. And she gives a fantastic performance in the movie To Die For. I still recommend it. She was very sexy in the movie and a great actress. That was a long time ago. Since then, what has Nicole Kidman done that anybody cared about besides Moulin Rouge? And that was in 2001. I mean, you go back to the movies she's done. She did, tell me if you've even heard of any of these movies, The Railway Man.
Oh, yeah. That was last year.
Stoker. Hemingway and Gellhorn, The Paperboy, Trespass, Just Go With It, Rabbit Hole, Nine, Australia, The Golden Compass, Margot at the Wedding, The Invasion. She did one of the voices in Happy Feet. She did that horrible movie version of Bewitched with Will Ferrell. Oh. That's the last 10 years. You got to go back to 10 years ago to the interpreter with Nicole Kidman and Sean Penn to find anything decent on her resume.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this new movie is not going to turn that resume around.
Oh.
It's called Before I Go to Sleep. And it's yet another one of these movies about amnesia. She plays a character who, when she wakes up each day, has no idea what happened the day before or the day before or the day before. In fact, she's 40 years old and has no memory of anything since she was in her early 20s. No memory whatsoever. So every day is a fresh start day. Not in the Groundhog Day way where she's replaying the same day over and over again. This is the way where she has no idea what yesterday was like. And she wakes up in bed and there's a guy with his arm draped around her in bed. She looks down. She takes his arm off of her. She gets out of the bed. She looks at him. She has no idea who this guy is. She gets up. She goes to the bathroom. In the bathroom, there are photos that are taped to the wall, photos of him that say, "This is Ben. Ben is your husband." Pictures of them on their wedding day together, etc., so that she can see this and kind of have an idea of what's going on and kind of refresh her memory. She doesn't know that she has this memory loss. She wakes up every day and has no idea. And then she comes out of the bathroom and there's Ben, her husband, played by Colin Firth, sitting on the edge of the bed. And she says, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "I'm Ben. I'm your husband." He calmly explains again. And you realize this guy's explained this 1,000 times. Every day is he's in Groundhog Day, because every day he's got to explain this to her. And I'm not going to ruin anything, but I'm going to tell you this much of the movie plot. At a certain point, Ben goes to work, leaving her home alone. And the phone rings, and it's a guy saying, "Hi, my name is Dr. Nash. I'm a psychotherapist, a neuropsychologist, and I've been working with you about your memory loss, and I've been helping you, and I've talked to you about this every day. You don't know who I am. I understand that because you have no memory of this. But I have been helping you for several weeks." And from there, that's where the mystery begins. Why does she have memory loss? What's the story with her husband? And where does he really go every day? And what's the relationship been like? And why? And is there other family? And is this guy really a doctor? And is he really working with her? And at one point, I thought to myself, okay, the movie's going to go in one direction. And I won't say what that direction is because you might have that same feeling and I don't want to spoil it for you. This is one of those movies that's very easily spoiled if you say the wrong thing. I'm not going to do that. But at a certain point, I said, oh, this is going to go down this worn path that other movies about amnesia have gone. And it didn't go that way. It went down the other worn path of where amnesia movies have gone. And I think Nicole Kidman does an okay job in this. I think she's a talented actress. I just think she makes horrible career choices, and this is another one of them. 5.5 out of 10 for Before I Go to Sleep. Now, all of that said, there is one great movie on this subject. And it's not Groundhog Day, again, because that's not a memory thing. Bill Murray doesn't have a memory problem. He remembers everything. It's just the same day over and over again. The greatest movie about amnesia is called Memento.
Christopher Nolan.
Made by Christopher Nolan, who did The Dark Knight and the upcoming Interstellar and what was the one with
Inception.
Inception. Thank you very much. He's a great movie maker, and one of his earliest movies was Memento, in which Guy Pearce is a guy who wakes up every day and has no knowledge of anything from yesterday or the day before, just like this Nicole Kidman character. But in that movie, trouble comes and finds him, and that movie is told backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know what happened yesterday, and you don't know what happened yesterday, so we're going to find out together. But he won't remember it, and we will. Oh, it's a good movie.
So good.
Memento is the best movie about memory loss. Before I Go to Sleep is a movie about memory loss. You see the difference there? So that's 5.5 out of 10.
There you go.
The third movie opening this week is something completely different. It's called Whiplash, and it stars J.K. Simmons, who you may remember as, what's the name of the publisher of the paper in the Spider-Man movies?
Oh, I can't think of his name. The character's name, right?
Yes.
I can't think of it.
The guy who's the editor of the newspaper and the editor and publisher of the Daily, whatever it is. He's in that. He was also on Law and Order for a long time as the psychologist Skoda. And you see him all the time in TV commercials. And you recognize this guy as soon as you see him, even if you don't know his name. He's a terrific actor. And in this movie, he gives the greatest performance of his career. He plays a music teacher at the most elite music school in the country. And Miles Teller plays this young guy who goes there and is a first-year student at this school. You may know Miles Teller if you saw the movie Divergent, or if you saw the movie The Spectacular Now, or a couple of other things. He's an up-and-coming young guy who's also very talented. He is a drummer, and he goes to this school and he gets into the band at the school, the band class that is run by J.K. Simmons' character. And J.K. Simmons' character turns out to be the harshest, meanest, toughest teacher ever. I mean, a guy who, if you do things wrong, he yells at you in your face. He's not afraid to throw things at the students in his class. The kids in his class can't even look him in the eye because he's embarrassed them and ashamed them. But you also think to yourself, well, then why do they do this? Well, because he has the reputation of putting together fantastic bands. And when you're in this top-level band at this top-level music school, if you do well and you get into the showcases that he gets them into, prestigious competitions, then you can get noticed by the music community, which pays attention because of the reputation. So that's supposedly why these kids put up with this. Well, Miles Teller goes in there as the young, naive young guy who just wants to be the greatest drummer ever, and he just gets abused verbally and almost physically, not in a sexual way, but having stuff thrown at him and forced to play stuff on the drums, on his drum kit, and that he practices over and over again, so much so that he bloodies his hands as he's playing. And it is a movie about discipline and about teaching and about abusing the privilege of being a teacher and about obsession. That's really the number one word here. Miles Teller is obsessed with becoming a better drummer, and he thinks that this guy can make him the greatest drummer. And J.K. Simmons is obsessed with the power that he has over these kids and is just a mean son of a, you know. And it's a movie that if you ever took music lessons and had a teacher who yelled at you, you will go to this and want to throw things at the screen. I was never in that situation because I played drums in third grade for about 6 weeks, and that was it for me. The rest of the time I was taking guitar lessons with a nice folk singer kind of guitar teacher, and everything was nice and easy. But if your kid ever had to go through any kind of hell, you might recognize some of that in this. If you've never taken a music lesson, you might recognize that really bad teacher that we've all had at some point in our life. Everybody has the one nightmare teacher they remember. Take that nightmare teacher and multiply him by 100, and you get this character. Now, if that sounds like a movie you don't want to see, well, you might be right. But I'm giving this movie a 7 out of 10. Very close to an 8, I'll be honest with you. Maybe a 7.5, somewhere in that range. Because J.K. Simmons is fantastic in the role. You completely believe that he is this guy, and it's completely different from every other character he's ever played. It's called Whiplash. It's going to be in the art houses. It's like a Plaza Frontenac or Tivoli movie. But holy cow, is his performance dynamic. I think he'll be nominated.
And so you're saying he's better in this than he is in the State Farm commercials?
Those are the commercials I couldn't think of. Yeah, that's exactly right.
There you go.
So those are the movies that are opening this week. The one that Colin obviously wants you to see is The Nightcrawler for the 9 out of 10, and I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more movie and showbiz stuff in the next segment here on the Big 550 KTRS. Meep, meep.
Now we're going to check some traffic. Here's Tim Weiland, and it's crazy out there.
Yeah, damn it, you found me. I was trying to hide.
I know.
Hey, this traffic report is brought to you by Exxon and Mobil. A stop at Exxon and Mobil gives you energy for all life's journeys because where you go is who you are. Exxon and Mobil, energy lives here. Boy, it's a mess. It's a mess everywhere, but North County really is bad. They've just now opened the three lanes On eastbound 270, midway between McDonnell and Lindbergh. You had a pretty serious accident up there. Only the right lane was getting through. But again, all lanes are now open, but you are backed up all the way to Highway 70. Southbound 270, running stop-and-go in areas between Page down through Doherty Ferry. It's going to remain slow through Tesson Ferry. Westbound 40, jams pretty solid from Kings Highway through McCausland, from Lindbergh out through 141, and then from Clarkson all the way out past the Boone Bridge. It's a solid jam. Eastbound 40, pretty solid from Clarkson to 270. You're also heavy from Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. And on northbound Telegraph at Englandtown, you had an accident. Only the right lane was getting through. No problems on northbound, but southbound drivers are jammed from 255 all the way down through Englandtown as they slow to take a look. This report also brought to you by Tomcat. It's fall. The rodent control experts at Tomcat call it rodent season. Be ready with Tomcat's full line of effective rodent baits and traps to fit your household's preferences and needs. Get them today at Walmart. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
To the 20, to the 10, to the house! Touchdown, Missouri!
Hi, I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. Bowl eligible for the 10th time in 14 years. Mizzou's football team continues its pursuit of a second straight SEC East title this weekend. Saturday, Missouri hosts Kentucky. The kickoff is at 3. Tiger Network coverage begins at 1, right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
Imagine a sumptuous Sunday brunch in the midst of 170 picturesque acres and two lakes on the edge of Warren and St. Charles County. That would describe Sunday brunch at Cedar Lake Cellars Winery. From 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., enjoy fresh-made omelets and a variety of locally sourced vegetable dishes and baked goods for only $18.95 per person, including your first glass of sangria, mimosa, or Bloody Mary bar. Reservations are recommended, and all guests should be over 21. Of course, you can enjoy lunch and dinner Friday through Sunday at Cedar Lake Cellars. With the addition of the Sunday brunch from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m., Cedar Lake Cellars Winery is less than 4 miles from I-70, just a short drive away. For all the details, go to cedarlakecellars.com. Cedar Lake Cellars, St. Louis's premier event venue and winery.
Think about the conversation you had with your financial advisor and how that made you feel knowing you had everything taken care of. You know exactly what strategy to use to claim your Social Security. You understand how and when to withdraw your assets and from what accounts you should withdraw from first. You are 100% confident that you are always going to pay the least amount of money in taxes. The chances are you probably never had that conversation, and there's a high probability that you probably won't. Don't you think you owe it to yourself to make sure you've done everything right? If you're within 5 years of retirement or already retired with at least $250,000 of investable assets, call me, Kevin Lloyd, president of Legacy Wealth Advisors and co-host of America's Wealth Management Show, for a complimentary retirement analysis. 314-641-1010. For a complimentary retirement analysis, call 314-641-1010.
Securities offered through First Allied Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Buying a home and finding a real estate agent is probably the most important thing you will do. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group, what should people look for in a real estate agent?
Number one, you should find a top-producing full-time agent. Did you know 20% of the agents sell about 80% of the houses in the St. Louis area? So the average agent sells less than 8 houses a year. Kathy Helbig Group sells over 100 houses a year.
You're not a typical real estate agent. You have a full group and a full team.
Exactly. It's a real estate business, so we have to be proficient at marketing, exposure, pricing, knowing our inventory, knowing the competition, and how to negotiate offers.
Kathy, if a buyer or a seller calls you today, what can you offer them?
A professional home designer on our staff will come in and give them an evaluation of their style and staging of their home prior to going on the market.
That's 17-year full-time producer, realtor, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. She's a real estate expert, and she's on KSDK Channel 5, and she's here with us on the Big 550 KTRS. KathyHelbigGroup.com, 314-726-SOLD, or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
Hi, I'm Platte County Prosecutor Eric Zond. There's an issue facing our communities. It's not comfortable to talk about, but it's not something we can ignore. If you have children in the car, you may want to change the station and visit ProtectMissouriChildren.com when you get home. Missouri is the only state that doesn't allow juries to learn about previous crimes in cases against the most dangerous sexual predators, repeat child sex offenders. As a prosecutor, I can tell you firsthand that this dangerous loophole makes it more difficult to keep sexual predators off our streets. An alarming percentage of crimes against children are committed by repeat offenders, many of whom are only on the street because of this specific loophole in our law. November 4th, you can help fix that by voting yes on Amendment 2, which will close this loophole and allow juries to hear the truth about prior crimes by child predators. I'm Platte County Prosecutor Eric Zond, asking you to help protect Missouri's children. Vote yes on Amendment 2. Paid for by Protect Missouri Children, Dean Dankelson, Treasurer.
Realtors have expertise in land development and management, retail, industrial, office, and investment properties. They have the experience, knowledge, and savvy to help you achieve your business and investment real estate goals. Realtors also have the power of the National Association of Realtors behind them, working with legislators and regulators to support the key role commercial real estate plays in our national economy. Ask for a professional who understands your commercial business. Ask for a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The calendar says it's fall, and that means you need to take care of your lawn, and that means a fall starter. Can I recommend my friends at Dynagreen? Dynagreen is the only fall starter that has phosphorus. Phosphorus is for commercial fertilized lawns only, but now it's good for residential, courtesy of Dynagreen and their Dynagreen Fall Starter. Dynagreen or DynagreenInfo.com to find out everything you need to know. For your local Dynagreen dealer, check out Bear Garden Shop.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
A dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been in the business a long time. Every other radio station on Halloween pulls out Monster Mash or Werewolves of London. Only Eon the Peon digs into the archives and finds these obscure...
John Zacherly.
John Zacherly.
J. Jonah John Jameson. It's the editor's name.
The guy that J.K. Simmons played in the Spider-Man movies?
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, happy Halloween from the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and Colin is here talking movies and showbiz. If you missed it so far, we've reviewed Nightcrawler, which he gave a 9. Before I Go to Sleep, which I gave a 5.5, and Whiplash, which I think I've settled on a 7.5.
There you go.
Nightcrawler is the one that will be on the most screens this weekend. Most of those screens will not have huge crowds because it's Halloween weekend, and makes you wonder why the studio doesn't have any confidence in Jake Gyllenhaal's Nightcrawler. Is it because all the other weekends are taken up by things like Interstellar?
Yeah, and it's because it's a single... Well, Interstellar, you've got Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway, Matthew McConaughey. Three people you can sell.
Right, but I mean, that's a blockbuster, and when a studio announces that they have this monster blockbuster opening on a certain weekend, the other studios say, all right, well, we're not putting any movies on that weekend.
Yeah, and it's a blockbuster, but it's a think piece, too. Interstellar, we have to realize, is 2 hours and 47 minutes. We'll have a review next week, but it's long. They're just trying to give it room to breathe around everything. There's good movies coming out every week from now until... early January, mid-January, except for, you could argue, Christmas week. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all sort of feel-good movies. But outside that, you're always going to be bumping into something else that's pretty good.
All right. Well,
so it's best to be the best movie this weekend than a second or third best movie a couple of months from now.
That's true. What else you got in the showbiz realm?
Well, we still don't know when Stephen Colbert is taking over for David Letterman. It's estimated sometime next year. I couldn't imagine it'd be any later than next year.
I would assume that Letterman will finish up in May.
Yeah. I think you're right. Get through sweeps.
Yeah, that's the biggest TV ratings period of the year. That's when Johnny Carson signed off in 1992, and he doesn't want to have to work through the summer.
No. But we now know when Stephen Colbert will be done at the Colbert Report.
Sometime later this year, right?
December 18th. He gave the exact date last night
during
his show. December 18th. So, you know, there's, what is that, 7 more weeks, I guess, of Colbert Report. It'll get him through the November ratings period. And
he and Jon Stewart are going to be live on Tuesday night, by the way, with election results.
Oh, yes.
Their way. Did I tell you that my daughter went to see a taping because she goes to school in New York? She went to a taping of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. And this past Sunday, she went to John Oliver's show last week tonight.
Oh, man.
And she was very upset to find out that there are no audience shots of the John Oliver audience. So, you know, as the proud mother and father, my wife and I were looking at it, go, well, there's no shot of the audience at all. Of course, on The Colbert one, we were doing frame by frame. I think that might be her. She said that the Colbert Report taping was the best experience of all of that, but that's because she got to high-five him before the show.
Oh, look at that.
All three of them come out and answer questions from the audience and warm them up and say hello before they actually go down and behind the desk and do their thing.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool that they can go to these tapings, and I should tell her to get tickets for Letterman before he goes.
Yes. Letterman, and while she's there, SNL. It may not be great, but the way you do that is you enter a lottery for a season. You write in and say, I want tickets. You can't say which show, anything. And they say, you've been selected. Here's the day. Take it or leave it.
Actually, Jimmy Fallon would be a better choice.
Jimmy Fallon would be good.
He's a 30 Rock, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you got to see the SNL studio. Even if it's not great, you're still going to be in the same studio that once held, you know, I mean, the Not Ready for Primetime Players. Tell me that wouldn't be kind of neat. There's a lot of history there. That's the only reason you go to Mount Rushmore, the history. That's going there because you're like, oh, no. South Dakota this time of year is wonderful.
I don't think Mount Rushmore and the current edition of Saturday Night Live are quite the same.
I'm just saying, you go there for the history.
I mean, if you went to Mount Rushmore and there were current politicians up there, you'd go, well, why'd we waste our time coming here?
That'd be fun.
Not to maybe get high-fived by A.D. Bryant. Not quite the same, I guess.
Nice reference.
There you go.
Very, very nice. So December 18th will be Colbert's
December 18th, which means early January, we should have the Minority Report with Larry Wilmore on.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Chelsea Handler, you know, the one of the highest paid late night TV show hosts with the smallest audience.
Yeah, she used to be on E!
Yes, and is nowhere. Well, you may remember the Vlad.
No. She signed a deal with Netflix.
When does that start? I can't remember.
I don't know, and I don't know how they're going to handle it because they're going to have to tape it quite a bit ahead of time before they make it available for streaming, right?
Well, unless they do a nightly show. Unless
they can't do a live streaming show.
Not live, but they say, okay, we're going to film it earlier this day, and at 9 o'clock your time, it'll be available on Netflix. Who knows? It might be worth a shot. See if you can get people to tune into Netflix for appointment television of sorts and say, I don't know.
Won't get me to tune into Chelsea Handler's appointment television of any sort.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe it's once a week thing.
Did you ever watch her show on E?
I've seen it a few times. She had some small guy she made fun of.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
No, I don't get her humor.
I watched the half hour. I said, I'm going to commit to watching this because this is a little bit of a show business phenomenon that she's doing here. And she's the only woman doing it in late night.
Well, it helped she was dating the head of E! Programming at the time. Mm-hmm. That kind of
like Rene Russo and Dan Gilroy.
I have the name of the newspaper editor from Spider-Man. This was a while ago.
Yeah, he just mentioned it a minute ago.
Oh, you did?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh,
Jameson.
Yeah, I missed it.
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
I must have been out taking a whiz.
Oh, are you listening to Glover over there again? Pay attention to our show, for God's sake.
No, I was listening to replays of Charlie Brennan.
So I watched Chelsea Handler once, and I sat through the whole half hour, and at the end, it seemed like I had been watching a TV show that had been on the air for years and established its own inside jokes.
Yes.
And if you didn't know what those were, you would never catch up.
Yep. It was all right every now and then if the comedian she had with her were funny. There'd be a few good laughs there, because she had like a panel, but they were few and far between.
Yeah.
But why are we talking about her now? Vladimir Putin, you remember... No shirt on a horse.
Yes.
The image got released.
Multiple topless shirts of the Soviet president.
Well, she decided, you know what? If he can ride a horse topless, so can a woman. So-
okay. All right. Let me just stop you right there before you go any further with the story. It's too late for that joke. Vladimir Putin topless thing was last year.
It is. Which explains why she is no longer on television.
Not for an attention junkie. I mean, you can do callbacks to old jokes all the time if it brings you press attention.
Yes. Well, it is, because she posted a topless picture on Instagram. It promptly got removed, and she took to the classy institution that is Twitter, where the topless picture of her still remains. So that's why she's...
And I know you've looked at it, so tell us.
That's in the news. I haven't looked at it. I'm looking at the censored
Liar.
Instagram one. No, I'm looking... Because that's the story, the fact that Instagram pulled it down. I'm sure you can easily find it. It's going to be everywhere.
I did easily find it after seeing the story, Colin.
And?
One of her better traits.
Okay.
I'll say.
Two
of her better traits. Yeah, yes. And she even... I kind of like the fact that she even says, this is one of my best...
Not necessarily
personality attributes, but my attributes. So
okay.
I'm going to use it, and so I'm all for that.
All right. Now I
the funniest thing she's ever done.
I see the Putin thing is so long ago.
Right.
Exactly.
You know. See, that's going to be a problem with Netflix. Unless they're going to stream it the same night or even the next night.
Or like a weekly show like John Oliver, maybe that'll work. You know, you do it once a week and say, here's the stories. We've got an hour of comedy.
But you know how out of date Weekend Update sounds on SNL now, because everybody else gets their topical stuff, if not from other TV shows, certainly from other online venues.
Yeah.
By the time it gets around to Saturday Night Live, Weekend Update is lame and seems old. Even something that happened on Friday, by the time they get to it on Saturday night, you're still joking about that. This Putin thing is just
maybe that's what she'll do. A year ago, where were you? A year ago with Chelsea Handler. She'll take on the topics from a year ago this day.
Oh, that's Aaron Sorkin's job with the newsroom.
Yes, it is. It is.
And when is that coming back, by the way?
November. I'm going to get the date wrong. First or second week of November. And it's a final season.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. And then one last thing. AMC, just the bastion of sort of like original programming that is not HBO. They ordered this past year two pilots for shows called, I'm going to get the names right, Knife Man, but one word, so I'm going to say Knifeman, if that's okay. Is that okay? Can I say that?
You can, but you're making it sound like it's somebody's last name.
Knife Man.
You know our next-door neighbor, Jim Knifeman, don't you?
And Galentine.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He gets out the big candy
sense of humor.
Bars.
Oh, gosh. And Galentine. These are two shows they ordered, had a lot of buzz around them during sort of the upfront period, but we never heard anything about. They just canceled them, which is just kind of sad to see. One's a period piece. It's like an 18th century piece. And the other one was a dystopian sci-fi. So I know you would have tuned in to watch that.
No.
But it's just kind of sad to see that AMC is, they still seem to be struggling post Breaking Bad. And when Mad Men goes off the air, I'm not quite certain what they'll have. I mean, they'll have Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But they're really running on fumes right now. And so I'm waiting to see what else they pick
up. Two other quick showbiz related things. The Rams play the 49ers on Sunday. And I think that San Francisco may be a big enough media market that we don't get Dick Stockton. That's what I'm hoping for. Because, wow, I think the Rams are playing host to the Oakland Raiders in a couple of weeks. That has Dick Stockton written all over it. They go to the bottom team. And last week we had Dick Stockton working with Donovan McNabb in his first NFL broadcast.
God, so bad.
Breaking in the rookie. And the other thing I have to mention here is the guy who invented the board game Operation, a guy by the name of John Spinello. You know Operation, where you have to take the funny
take
ball out.
Take out wrenched ankle.
Exactly. He's now 77 years old, and he needs an operation. An operation that's going to cost him $25,000. But he doesn't have, it's oral surgery, and he doesn't have insurance to cover it, or the insurance won't cover it, or whatever it is. He doesn't have money from the game, because when he invented the game, he sold it for $500.
Oh my gosh.
And so now some people have started a crowdfunding website to raise enough money to pay for this guy's operation. And all I would say is to the people at Hasbro, who now own the board game Operation, it's $25,000.
They've also sold the movie rights to Operation, just so you know. I'm not even kidding. I'm being 100% serious. There are plans for a movie Operation. That makes it more showbiz.
Well,
I bet he has a diploma stuck under his wisdom tooth.
Well, all they have to do is say, we'll take care of it. You know what? We didn't pay you a lot for the game in the beginning, but we have made a lot of money off of it. What a great public relations move that would be for Hasbro to say, you know what? This is on us. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you this Christmas season becomes the number one board game if they do that from all the free publicity.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Colin Jeffrey with Showbiz every Friday here on the Big 550 KTRS. It's 4:56.
Meet me.
We need to check with Tim Weiland on traffic. Tim?
All right. There is no better place to get fall savings than Sam's Club. Hurry in to discover great values on this season's newest arrivals. Plus, save big on the brands you trust.
Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. Boy, what a mess we have in traffic this afternoon. We've got an accident now southbound 170 after Ladue. Look for a good backup there. Still going to be extremely heavy from St. Charles Rock Road around through New Florissant on eastbound 270 due to that earlier accident. Southbound 270, stop and go from Page down through Doherty Ferry. It's going to be slow again from 44 through Tesson Ferry. We have westbound 40 traffic really jamming up from about Vandeventer now all the way out through McCausland. You're heavy from 270 out through Mason and then from Clarkson out to the Boone Bridge. Westbound 70, slow past the airport. You've got a long stretch again from the Earth City Expressway out to about Highway 79 where there was an earlier accident there. This report also brought to you by Tomcat. It's fall. The rodent control experts at Tomcat call it rodent season. Be ready with Tomcat's full line of effective rodent baits and traps to fit your household's preferences and needs. Get them today at Walmart. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpress and the All Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or download their STL Taxi app. It's free. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, everyone. Good Friday afternoon. Well, Pope Francis says he believes in the Big Bang Theory. Pope also said he's not quite sold yet on 2.5 Men.
But hey, I want to tell you.
President Obama recently spoke about the time his own credit card was declined. Apparently what happened was he had went over his MasterCard's $18 trillion limit.
I hate when that happens.
I handed it right back to him. So there's a new thing coming. I'm not sure when it's coming, but the flying drone bikes. These are bicycles that are also drones. Boy, you think you get a lot of trick-or-treaters from other neighborhoods now.
It's E.T.'s drone.
All right, and finally, well, I guess rapper Ice Cube recently stopped by Sesame Street to teach Elmo some new words. Fortunately, it's also the first episode of Sesame Street where Elmo got his mouth washed out with soap. TiVo. It's the Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, where I will not be participating in Halloween tonight, so don't come to the door. I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTR.
Wow. You'll know Bill's house. It's the one where the door is painted F off.
And then all the eggs on it.
Welcome, kids. Get away. Yeah, Bill's a little bit young to be the cranky old man in the neighborhood, isn't he? No, apparently not. No. All right, as we approach 5 o'clock, we're prepping the Harris Challenge for you. If you paid attention to the news this week,